Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on August 4th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And joining us today as co-host and co-interviewer is the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Mark Lips. And of course, with us because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So
excellent.
Good, Joe.
good.
But it's still early.
Well, it won't be early in an hour. It depends on how well the show goes, right?
No, it'll still be early in an hour, Joe.
Oh, will it? Okay.
Yeah,
well, I guess.
No. Are you kidding? With the stuff that I'm doing these days, I'm already halfway through my day.
I know. That's what I was going to say, 9 o'clock. I've gotten more accomplished by 9 o'clock than most people do in, you know, most of their day.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, no, things are happening. Yes, Mark.
What's new in your world?
Lots of things.
Are you guys showing up at any special events coming up or anything along those lines?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, I'll be attending Bite at the Beach next weekend, Saturday the 12th, with my partner in crime, Gloria Placentia. You know, she takes the most fabulous pictures, and
right.
So we're going to be showing up and doing our thing, and yeah.
That I wasn't fishing for a plug, but I'll take it. I thought maybe there was a boat parade or something that you guys were going to be at. That
comes later in the year. That's
right.
A little ways down the road. Although I will mention to you, I don't know if you are aware that Joe and I have begun a new platform. We did our first episode a couple of weeks ago. We're doing a video show these days. And Joe is actually the executive producer of that show. It's called South Bay by Jackie Presents.
Mm-hmm.
And our first regular programming is with Manhattan Beach Council Member Richard Montgomery. So we're going to be taping the next episode next week. And so that's like a whole new thing for us. And we're still, you know, working the bugs out of it, but yeah, it's something new and exciting.
That's pretty
right.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's Richard's focus going to be? What are you guys going to talk about? Just whatever's going on at the time?
Yeah. He it's his show, so he gets to choose the topic and the guests. The first one we did was all about the disaster that Playa Vista Del Mar disaster, the road reconfiguration. Everybody was up in arms about that. And it's really funny because, as I said, this was all brought together very quickly. And
right.
we taped the program and we did some editing on it. So we didn't get it out as quick. So we got it out, I think it was last Monday. And then on Wednesday, Bonin announced that they're putting the lanes back in. So either we're really good at what we do.
He caved. He caved because of the South Bay show presents.
It was too much pressure. Once he saw that video, he was like, yeah, okay, this is going to work. So yeah, we get results, Mark. Let's get results.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Well,
we'll take credit. Why not?
We had an interesting, you know, it was interesting, speaking of Richard Montgomery, we had a great council meeting, went till, almost 11 o'clock on Tuesday. But, you know, Skechers presented their roundhouse plans.
Renovation?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
For the end of the pier. Yes. And I got to tell you, that is going to be a showstopper. I mean, it is. I mean, it's not the Shedd Aquarium or the Aquarium Monterey or even, you know, Long Beach. But I got to tell you, as far as quality it is, it just not doesn't have the same footprint. And the things they're doing, I mean, it's just going to be a destination, not only for kids here, but, of course, for visitors coming in, which we don't like to use the word visitors, that they come to our beach.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, it's a good thing it's not the Monterey Bay Aquarium because people would be up in arms. Traffic,
oh, yeah.
Too many people. Yeah. No, this is exactly
If you mention visitors, CVB, tourism, any of that, boy, people just – I don't think they realize that 75% of their sales tax revenue in this town – comes from visitors.
Yeah,
right.
So we know that.
If they want the green belt, if they want the roads repaired, if they want all of this stuff done, granted, we get a lot from real estate taxes and we, you know, all of that, but the sales tax revenue is just huge. It's all from visitors. So, you know, they like to keep it under wraps, but at the end of the day, you know, they're talking about us in New York and Italy and all that. Go to Manhattan Beach. The number one group that travels here is Australians.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And our hotels are, even though, you know, we have this whole Airbnb issue, but our hotels are 85 to 95% sold out. Personally, I think the whole Airbnb issue should be on-site, should be allowed. You should be able to lease out, get some TOT, let the city get some TOT from it. They should allow the Airbnb, if you're an on-site owner, like say you've got a couch or a bedroom or a garage apartment or whatever, you can do it because the hotels are 85 to 95% sold out. So that's not an issue with losing out to Airbnb guys. But the big winner is the businesses, local retail, restaurants, bars, shops. They get the benefit of the people visiting who are staying in these places. That's where they're eating and drinking and shopping and all of that. And then what we need to keep out is the negative part of Airbnb, and that's the developers, the ones who kick everybody out of an apartment building and turn it into an Airbnb establishment. Now, that's not monitored. Or the guys who have a house and move to Seattle, I think we know who we're talking about, and they turn their house into an Airbnb and pretty, you know, guys are there for AVP, 10 guys in the house, they're peeing on the lawns next door and all of that. And so you can tell this is a little bit of a hot button with me. I just
idea. I'm sorry, I've never heard of that particular proposal. I think that's very smart that
it's not using a sledgehammer.
Arrange it so that the city would get some TOT or some portion of the Airbnb payment, and it requires an on-site owner. That's a great idea.
It would be, first of all, windfall in revenue. Secondly, because people, if they thought, okay, I'm not breaking the law, they would go ahead and do it. They could go ahead and do it. It would be a win. They would sign up, say, sure, we'll pay the extra, we'll pay the 10%, you know, TOT, no problem. the other thing is, when you are on site, you monitor it better than any police or anybody else because you've got neighbors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And And you can even set up Airbnb where they have to have a good recommendation from previous Airbnb hosts who've had them in their place. I mean, you can set up the parameters. Sure. You know, no dogs, no kids, no no teenagers. No, you know, well, you're not going to do that. But, I mean, something where you, they have to have had a positive recommendation from previous hosts that they've used. But anyway, it just – I think also – okay, and then there's the social aspect. Okay, not everybody is a multimillionaire in Manhattan Beach or Hermosa or anywhere else. Not everybody has the kind, you know, there's a lot of people, fixed income people, senior citizens, of course, that are, you know, well, I can tell you countless stories where I know one story, a lady, her husband said, "I'm divorcing you. If you want to keep the house, we're just going to have to sell it." And you move to and he made this comment, which it just staggers me that these guys, I mean, familiarity breeds contempt. They ought to just be shot or something. But he said, "Listen, do what all the other divorcees do, move to Hawthorne, you know." And she said, "No, the kids are going to stay in this house. We're going to do it." She rented out a room to Airbnb. That was the only thing that saved her mortgage way back then. That was a long time ago. Now she's doing fine. But that was the only thing. I know a guy who – I know another lady who was divorced, and the only way that she could pay her mortgage, because the kids – she wanted to keep the kids in the school system, stay where she was, and she had to Airbnb one of the bedrooms.
Okay. Airbnb is an excellent opportunity. Someone in the city council listening should think about – drafting an ordinance that would allow this, because it does.
Well, they just need to tweak it. They're famous for using a sledgehammer when they say, "Okay, we're outlawing Airbnb." Well, wait a second. There's some nuances here, okay?
Yeah.
There's the guy who got cancer, and the only way he was able to save his mortgage, because he was out of work for 6 months or whatever, was Airbnb. There's the guy who lost his job for 6 months. The only way he could, you know, hold on until he got something was Airbnb. I mean, there's tons of those stories out there. And now
and just keep in mind, I read a statistic. I believe between Hermosa and Manhattan, there are something like 153 strand front homes and units, and a third of them are absentee landlords. So
no, they are.
Those
Kevin Cody.
Those homes are empty. Yeah.
Kevin Cody said along Manhattan Beach Strand, 39% of the homes have their lights are off.
Right. Right.
No one's there.
So
they're second homes.
You mean
no
electricity?
No.
Just nobody's occupying them. They're second or third homes or something.
Yeah, nobody's there most of the time.
Yeah, so we're looking at TOT for the city, business for the, you know, money coming in the door for local businesses, owners making a profit, right? You know, as you said, there are nuances, but those three things right there, you know, to me sound like
now,
it should make.
If the hotels were not sold, if the hotels were not 85 to 95% sold out, I get that argument. Okay.
Right.
But they're not, and not everybody can afford $350 a night and all of that. But they aren't sold out. In fact, I heard that the California Hotel – now, don't quote me on this, but I heard the California Hotel Association actually embraces on-site owner Airbnbs. So
that's fantastic.
You know, because – and you know what? Yeah. If I'm a Mike Zislis who has Shade Hotel, I would be all for it, because I'm going to go to your restaurants. I'm going to go to your bars, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's
what I would do if I were those restaurants and bars, once you have that – by the way, once you have that TOT base, you have the names of all those Airbnbs, holy cow, I would be sending stuff to put in – for homeowners to put in those units that they get 10% off at my restaurant or my store or whatever and keep people here in Manhattan Beach shopping and – you know, that's what we need. That's what these small – listen, the backbone of our community and nationally across the country is small business. Sure, you have your bigger companies, and they are lobbyists, and they get, you know, their tail wags the dog. But the backbone of our business, the backbone of our our sales tax revenue in this town is small business. And for them to be able to keep the lights on and keep the doors open and to remain that mom and pop and to remain that kind of quaint hometown feel with these, which I know is an overused phrase, but with these small businesses, you really need to keep them healthy, and it's just another way to keep them healthy. Listen, we're a destination, whether these NIMBYs want to admit it or not. We are a place that, and I've said it before, used to be people came to L.A. and visited Manhattan Beach. Now they come to Manhattan Beach and visit L.A.
Right. Now, Mark, okay, this is so interesting to me. You know as well as everybody else that Redondo Beach is dealing with this issue as well, specifically with the waterfront, all right? Mm-hmm. And I was at a city council meeting, last month or something, and one of the council members was they were questioning the chamber president and some of the chamber employees about, you know, what they're doing, how they're spending money, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And he actually turned to the chamber president and said, "Well, it doesn't sound like you're working in the best interest of the residents." And the fact of the matter is, a chamber of commerce is supposed to work in the best interest of business.
Mm-hmm.
Not the residents. The chambers of commerce are there to support and promote local business. It's not their job to necessarily. I know this sounds terrible, to do what's in the best interest of residents, but the residents, if the businesses aren't doing well, the residents, the community isn't going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you're out here as a chamber president. Because a lot of people are stepping away from this issue. You know, as you said, the NIMBYs, you know, not in my backyard. People, I don't like that thinking. I find it very closed-minded.
Well, listen, one of the great things about our communities, is that we do not allow our politicos and all of that to rubber stamp things and just ram them through. You know, we do stand up as citizens. I'm speaking now as a citizen, as a homeowner, as a resident of these areas. So we do, and I've said this before to council, and I've said it in comments to at council with our residents behind me listening, is it's great that we push back. It's great that we force people to better, the first draft is not always the best draft. It forces them, when we push back, to work smarter. But at some point, you got to get out of the way and allow progress to happen. Because, once again, like the waterfront, listen, the footprint that Redondo has, so, you know, Metlocks, we pushed back on it. It was scaled back, and I defy anybody to tell me they're not glad it's there right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think Gelson's, once it gets established, the same people who were pushing back on Gelson's will be using it regularly. You know,
I agree. And the same thing happened.
You know, and here they go over to Skechers, and they want Skechers to – they're giving Skechers grief on its build-out along Sepulveda, and I'm going – well, what do you guys want? You don't want a Gelson's. You don't want an office building. Do you just want pasture? Would you like a petting zoo? What is it that you guys want? I mean, we're giving you – this is Sepulveda. It's big block. You know, Redondo, I would say that that's already a tourist destination, that whole area there. What is it you guys – I mean, do you just want it to fall into the sea eventually? So
okay,
I think you push back and you scale back.
Okay, Mark, at this stage, on the question, do you just want it to fall into the sea, we're going to take a station break and say that, ladies and gentlemen, whenever we have the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber on, I know you have questions and I know you want to call in. You're listening to the South Bay
Uh-oh.
Show. You're listening to the South Bay Show. And we were going to have a different show, but today we're talking about lots of things going on in the South Bay. We're talking about
lots of things to talk about.
all these current events. Of course, big news in Hermosa, movie on the beach tomorrow, and then a big concert on Sunday. So Hermosa is going to be hopping. We're going to talk about all of that. But if you are, if you have an opinion and you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's area code 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And Mark, whenever we have you on, it's an exciting show. We should do this more often, Mark.
I'm all for it. I would love to talk about the issues and get the word out on things.
Okay,
you know?
So what you were just talking about, Mark, we'll continue with that. The same exact thing happened when they wanted to construct a rock and bruise at the corner of PV Boulevard and Pacific Coast Highway in Redondo.
Yeah.
Technically, it's in Torrance. Technically, it's in Torrance, but it's right at the border of Redondo. And I went to those meetings. I went to the neighborhood meetings. I mean, there's a well-organized group in the Riviera Homeowners Association, and they hired attorneys, and they had a lot of meetings, and I went to meetings on both sides, and I was all for it because that corner was just – it was urban blight, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, it just looked terrible. And they were up in arms about this, and fortunately, it passed, and pretty much every single one of them has said, I was wrong. This is great.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, they're in there all the time. They love that they can walk to it. It's a part of the community now, and I've heard many people that were against it say, nope, I was wrong. This is great. They were screaming that it was going to be loud music, motorcycle gangs, violence, crime. It was going to bring all of this stuff, and all it's done is bring the community together because it's a kid and pet friendly place.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go in there on any given night, a Friday night, a Saturday night, and there are families sitting outside eating with their kids and their dogs, and it's great. So,
Yeah. No, I gotcha. It's that's exactly right. They're all using it. The thing is, what I was getting at though is, by pushing back, you end up getting a better product. But and so you scale it back. You find that compromise. And that's what we did with Gelson's, what we did with Metlock's, what we're doing. You know, Skechers is fine. But look, we have, with Skechers bankrolling this aquarium, this revitalized aquarium at the end of our pier, we didn't have too many people coming out Tuesday night. There was no Bill Victor, but he's a regular guy at city council and pushes back on a lot of things, and he wasn't really aggressively pushing back. He just wants to see. He doesn't like, and even Steve Napolitano and David Lesser didn't want the cafe. They wanted the cafe to remain, but Zislis sent in a letter. A previous owner from years ago sent in a letter. Two Guns sent in a letter saying there is no way a restaurant operation there can make money. You just can't do it. It's not set up to make money. It's not set up physically. You have to bring everything there.
Where are we talking, Mark?
At the pier. There
the
used
roundhouse.
To always be
the roundhouse.
The roundhouse. There always was a little cafe there, right?
Right.
Two Guns
right.
tried it. The guy before it tried it. Zislis tried it. They all gave it up. They just, you know, it's not worth the time and effort for maybe the few cents you make or the break even.
Right.
It just isn't worth it. So so fortunately we didn't get a lot of pushback, and everybody unanimously voted on the and by the way, the historical outside, that historical look, the cupola and that octagon is not changing. It's going to look no different. It's just going to be refreshed. It's going to be painted, cleaned up. It's going to look no different than what it's looked since the early, you know, since it was created in the 20s. So the historical
right.
aspect, but once you step inside, you're in this wonderful small footprint of an exquisite aquarium. And how great to have that for our kids who might say, okay, I think I want to be an oceanographer. And then they can go on and go down to the Alta Sea Project in San Pedro, which, by the way, if you haven't seen what's happening down there, I just got a presentation on it. Unbelievable, the research and development and the Oceanographic Institute and all this stuff they're putting in down there in a museum. I mean, it's just going to be fantastic. They have a really classic, state-of-the-art lighthouse
facility.
Is going to go up there. You'll see it. It's going to be this big, long. So this is today's lighthouse. And they're going to put that up there as part of the display, and you can go up part of the way into the lighthouse, and then the rest of it's all for scientific research and all of that. But it's all going to be very state-of-the-art, not the lighthouses that you see, you know, the picturesque ones. So granted, it's not going to have that quaintness, but it's today's lighthouse. And but, you know, so you can dive a little, you can drill a little deeper. What may spark that with a kid, what may spark that with a student, will be this in our own community, South Bay, will be this little aquarium at the end of the pier. And people were saying, well, what about the restaurant? Well, shoot, push a damn cart up there and have some coffee and pastries or whatever in that cart and sell them. It could be, let the Roundhouse have that franchise to push a cart up there. It could be a fundraiser for them, you know. Shape the cart like a dolphin. I don't care. You know, I mean, it's you know, that's an easy fix. And even Steve said, you know what, that's a good idea. We should just bring a cart up there. I'm all for that now. Just bring a cart, push a cart up there, and sell something out of the cart and things like that, you know. But, you know, that you got to get out of the way of that stuff. That's our infrastructure needs to be fixed. Sepulveda needs to be rejuvenated. We got stuff there that's just falling down. People aren't doing anything. Look at the Rite Aid. Look at that corner at Sepulveda and Manhattan Beach Boulevard where Rite Aid was supposed to build, you know, and then 2008 hit, and then all of a sudden Walgreens was going to buy them. Now Walgreens is just going to buy individual stores because the merger didn't get approved. And so who knows? And that, by the way, that corner is owned by the guy who owns El Torito, and he wants to sell both of them together. So now there are some things coming up that council will be talking about that they brought up, and they publicly said it, so we're not talking out of school, but, you know, the whole Goat Hill area where Two Guns and Big Walk and all that is along Sepulveda. Apparently there's a developer that wants to come in and develop that whole spot there, which means ripping out all that stuff, which would be sad because I think that's a part of the character of Sepulveda. But so we got all kinds of development. You know, they put a moratorium on any more medical facilities because if you've noticed, if you enter from the north on Sepulveda from El Segundo into Manhattan Beach, it just becomes medical row there for a little while. You know, we've got radiation, UCLA, urgent cares. I don't know if that says something about our senior citizen population or what, but so they put a moratorium with the exception of assisted living and convalescent and all of that homes, but any more urgent care medical places, they put a moratorium on building out any more of those places.
That's interesting. Primarily, because of all the new stuff going up, you know, Torrance Memorial, I mean, they're just spreading. Their footprint is getting huge.
Oh, well, I just had lunch with those guys, and they are so excited about what's going on there. I mean, they got that $100 million from Lundquist. They got the merger with Cedars-Sinai, which will happen. It's not totally done yet, but it'll happen, and that's going to merge. You know, some of the best doctors are going to be able to go over and practice at there. They're going to be able to cash in on the reputation that Cedars-Sinai brings, and they're really jazzed.
Right.
They're renovating. They're building out. They want to do a tour. They want to give us all a tour. They want people to come over and see their facility. So if you guys ever call them up, get a tour, and have them on. We'll have them on. I would love to have those guys on our show. And I can do that, Judy Gassner and all those guys. They are so charged up about what's going on. And I'm pleased to say they love the Manhattan Beach Chamber and the changes we're making and what we're doing. So they really are going to be real supporters of our chamber as well, so that's nice.
So Mark, we've talked about a lot of issues, but since we have you, and we don't have you on very often, I'd like you to take a breath and step back and just give us a state of the chamber the top three things that you're working on right now that you would say are going to make the biggest impact for your members that maybe some members don't know about?
Well, unless you stayed until the bitter end at City Council, you know, first of all, I advocated for Skechers for their for the Roundhouse. I mean, I advocated for them.
Sure.
I advocated for the Historical Society, and I presented our YEA program. That's the one that I'm really super excited about. I had Isabel Horry, who's now a seventh grader, who went to the national competition through our Young Entrepreneurs Academy program last May, and I'm super passionate about that. I am so surprised. Now, Connecta just endorsed it and kicked in some money for the program, but I am so surprised that we don't have to turn away sponsors for this. In other words, that we don't have these big industries not chomping on, you know, Continental, some of these other guys not breaking down our door, SoCal Edison or SoCal Gas, saying we want to be supporters of this, because this is something where you can get behind it and be a part of it for the whole year. And that, first of all, logistically, marketing-wise, is going to give you a lot of impressions, because the newspapers are going to cover it. We're going to promote it. We're going to talk about it. There's a lot of opportunities for you to get in front of a lot of people, you know, on a consistent basis, not just one-off events or the occasional email blast or something like that. So we're working on that. We're working on recruiting. That's the big thing. I want 24 kids, engaged kids, to be in this program. And so I met with Da Vinci Schools and Weisburn Schools this week, because it doesn't have to be just Manhattan Beach. I mean, we had a Redondo kid who was fantastic last year. The other thing, if you'd stayed to the bitter end at City Council, you would have seen me talking to council. I am presenting them with a contract, a work plan between the chamber and the city. Now, this is something new and different than any other chamber's done or is doing, and that is an actual work plan. In other words, we will be hired by the chamber by the city to do specific things, and they will be measurable.
Yeah.
And if we don't accomplish them, then fire us a year from now, you know? But it's
right.
a way for us
That's
to have a seat
great
at the table,
idea.
A way for us to be involved in our city and be involved with a seat at the table and helping make decisions and make things happen with business, with, you know, just with our community. At a business level, by the way, at a business level. So we
that
got that.
That's a great idea. I just want to say, Mark, that's a great idea as opposed to what's been happening in Redondo, where they're just gutting the Chamber and Visitors Bureau of all funding because they don't see any value.
Yeah, I don't think it's all funding, is it? I mean, they just splitting them up? Aren't they saying, Visitors Bureau over here, you guys are over here, you're only going to get this much money, you're only going to get this much.
No, this is what they're doing. The city used to pay the Chamber, I think it was up to about $700,000 a year.
Right, right.
And it was the Chamber, the Visitors Bureau, and they also had a PAC. So the city removed all of that funding. They're separating. They're taking the Visitors Bureau out of the Chamber.
Right.
Now here's the kicker. They set aside $150,000 to create either a new, I think it was a BID, or hire outside consultants to handle the Visitors Bureau functions, which $150,000.
Right, right. But that's the Visitors Bureau. But what about the Chamber?
The Chamber is given nothing now. Nothing.
Are you sure?
Yeah. The $150,000 is going to be allocated to, as I said, either an outside consultant
right.
or Visitors Bureau or, yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's not, by the way, it's not unusual.
No, yeah.
If you are very political, you typically don't want to take any money from the city if you can survive that way.
Right.
Because you want to weigh in with candidates. You want to,
right.
you know, have a political, you have a, you know, you're almost falling in lockstep with your national organization. That's why I don't pay dues. I stopped paying dues to, the National Chamber of Commerce. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they're very political. You know, whether you're Democrat or Republican or liberal, we are nonpartisan here at the Manhattan Beach. That's in our bylaws. So because they are so partisan at the national level, you know, I stopped paying dues because I actually had a guy come up to me and say, you know, I don't join the chamber because you guys are huge supporters of the Republican Party. And I said, not us. We don't support any party, you know. He goes, well, the national then. I said, well, yeah, but that's not – and so, yeah, we're not paying. So I said – and then I was able to go back to him and say, you know what? Thank you for letting me know. We're not paying dues to those guys, so we're not kicking into that program. And, you know, please join us. But, you know, it was bullshit because he's still hasn't joined. He's just looking for excuses. And, of course, he went – and, of course – And of course, he wants us to do this stuff.
I always enjoy having Mark Lips on the show because we always have adult language. It's always a good show.
Mark, does the Manhattan Beach Chamber endorse candidates? Do you endorse candidates?
No, that's what I mean. We are not. The most we will do the next go around, we would do it for school board as well. We will have forums. Maybe not. I mean, we could do it for school board, just as something for them, another platform for them to reach out to people. But when it comes to city council, what we'll do is we'll have a forum, and just like the Manhattan Beach Residents Association, just like the schools, just like the forum will be all the candidates up there talking, and the focus will be small business. Or business in general, the economy here in Manhattan Beach and the South Bay. But specifically Manhattan Beach. And so that's as close as we get. And it's not supporting any single candidate. It's just giving them a platform to talk to our local business owners about what they plan to do. So a local business owner who's interested in voting with someone on someone, but is more interested not so much in the wants to know what their take is on business and development and all of that. They can hear that, you know, and that'll be good because you want to know how these guys, where would you have fallen in the Gelson issue? Where would you have fallen in the Skechers or the Metlocks or the whatever issue that's out there? If Redondo Beach's project was in your backyard, what would you do? You know, and you get these guys, and you'll tell the ones that'll him and haul. Then you go, that guy's wishy-washy, not my guy, you know. But if you get a guy who says, not that they'll live up to it, but you get a guy who says, I'm all for that. I think we, within reason, scalable, honest, we will do public comment. We will get honest feedback. We will weigh everything, not going to let the tail wag the dog, the one percenters, all of that. Then, you know, that's what we need to do. Well, then, okay, you're my guy. That's who I'm voting for, you know, especially if I'm Paragon or some other Continental Development or whoever else. You know, there is so much, you guys, it's the tip of the iceberg, so much development planned, so much stuff under the surface that's being planned for this whole South Bay and even north into El Segundo. I just was having coffee with the founder of the Da Vinci School at Pete's over on El Segundo Boulevard, you know, the Pete's that's right across.
Yes.
Well, apparently there's a huge shopping center that's being planned for that across the street where the Air Force sort of area is. There's a big shopping retail area that's being planned for there, except I don't think it's Air Force, whatever that area is. And he said Continental Development didn't get the deal, but somebody else did. And I had no idea. It's another retail center slightly east of Sepulveda, now, you know, soon to be PCH with El Segundo. So, by the way, September 5th is at City Council. Manhattan Beach residents can go to council and weigh in with public comment. One of the things they're going to be talking about is perhaps changing Sepulveda, just as El Segundo is doing, to PCH.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
there's many divided thinking, much divided thinking on that. I mean, even Jan Dennis, of course, our local resident historian, be the most vocal, coming out with a book on Sepulveda, the history of it, and things like that. She you know, she's really adamant about not changing the name.
Now, Sepulveda is the name of the family that originally settled this area, owned Redondo Ranch or something like that some time ago.
Rancho Redondo.
Yeah, I need to look more in the history of that, too, because I was kind of one of those guys who said, you know, maybe PCH. I kind of like Pacific Coast Highway,
but
Highway 1, you know, and then you start learning about the history and you're going,
Yeah, but the concept of Pacific Coast Highway runs all the way from Malibu to San Diego.
No, and hotels, from a marketing perspective, hotels want it. Manhattan Village wants it. Brad Sperber at Manhattan Beach Toyota wants it because they just like the beachy sound to it.
No,
also,
you
don't have the GPS lady going, Sepulveda, you know, so.
No, yeah. But, I mean, is that the bottom line on this, is that Pacific Coast Highway will actually impact business and be better for business?
No, that's not the bottom line, because then you got the other half that are saying, I'll have to change. It's going to cost me money. I'm going to have to change my letterhead. I'm going to have to change my business license. There are going to be fees involved. What I suggested to the city, and I'll probably bring it up I suggested to them, I mean, not in separately, not in public comment, but on September 5th, I may make public comment, depending on what I find out, that, you know, if it does change to Pacific Coast Highway, what I would implore, and they seem to be very receptive to this idea, what I would suggest is that they offer a 1-year break on their business license fees so that they can take that money they would have spent on the business license fees. Those businesses only in Sepulveda, you know, so it's just a small part. That's not a huge hit to the city. And put that towards letterhead, change, you know, any fees for changing your license, business cards, all of that jazz, you know, and just give them a break on their, you know, and if it turns out the big companies, it's not a big deal, you know, maybe you make it, of course, they'll scream, why are the smaller businesses getting this break? So you really just got to offer it to everybody. But, you know, there are all those businesses along there, just give them that one-time break on their business license fee and be able to change, use that money to change their letterheads and stuff like that.
You know, there is a monetary value to having beach in your name, coast in your name, hill in your name. I mean, I remember years ago Bristol Farms announcing that they wanted to put a Bristol Farms in any town with hill or beach in it.
Yeah. No, that was the reason El Segundo changed. They thought it sounded more beachy, and they're not even a beach community. They don't have a beach, you know. So, so it even makes more sense with us in that respect, I get the history, though. You know, the Historical Society and Jan Dennis, they're going to be huge opponents of this. And, you know, we're so busy over here. We need at the chamber, what I need to do is carve out 1 week where maybe after right after Bite at the Beach, where we all just get on the phone and call every single business on Sepulveda and get their take on it. We did that for a little while, and it wasn't bad. I mean, actually it was and council, despite the fact they say most people don't want it, some are saying that. My research, my grassroots research showed it was 2-1 in favor of the change. Hotels want it. Manhattan Village wants it. You know, even Little Grow, the grocery store wants it. Daryl Sperber wants it with Manhattan Beach. I mean, not Daryl. Brad wants it with Manhattan Beach Toyota. You know, lawyers don't care. You know, between not caring and yes, we want it, it was 2-1 in favor of the change.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you something funny. You know, I've lived down here for almost 30 years, and it was only about 5 years ago that I actually started calling Sepulveda Sepulveda. I always referred to it as PCH in that area. You know,
you live in the PCH zone. You live in the PCH zone. So,
well, I just got used to it. Now you're going to change it. Oh well.
No, but that's and the people up here who, you know, I've had even citizens who really, they grew up with Sepulveda, so they like that east west, east of Sepulveda, west of Sepulveda. They just like that regardless of history. They just like the fact they grew up with Sepulveda, so they'd like to keep it Sepulveda. So those kinds of guys who don't even have a business or live on Sepulveda, you have those people weighing in saying, you know, well, I grew up with it at Sepulveda. So, you know, when Sepulveda is a business corridor, whatever they want. You know, and then people say, well, GPS will be confused. No, GPS won't. They have people who, that's all they do is,
right,
is put in name changes for when street names change and into the GPS,
right,
and update everything on a regular basis. That's what they do. So all of that stuff happens. It's not like you got to go call, you know, Google or anybody. I mean, that just happens.
Right.
And then it's mainly the main, other than the Historical Society with the historical preservation idea of Sepulveda, the main opponent to it is businesses not wanting to pay to change their letterhead you know, all of those things. So,
well, continuity is good too. You gotta say something for continuity. You
know.
No,
I know. You go from PCH to Sepulveda back to PCH. I mean, it's kind of strange.
Yeah.
But and then and they said, well, there's going to be a second street in Hermosa and a second street in Manhattan Beach. How do you differentiate? And I said, you know what? When you start writing in the name of an address on your GPS, you'll get all kinds of addresses popping up, and it isn't until you put in the city that you get the exact address,
right,
that you need. So
such first world problems, don't we?
Yeah, I know. It's like I've got the, for Bite at the Beach, I've got these guys arguing over, well, I want to use my speaker. Will you use your speaker? But, well, if I use my speaker, I say, guys, holy cow, take a step back. We're not curing cancer here. Just fucking use this. Whoops. Just use your speaker.
There's the FCC goes. We just got a fine.
Okay, so listen.
No, we're
online.
It's
online. This is Kate. Yeah, it's better
kidding.
Than cable. Okay,
no
so
fine.
Since
no
you
fine.
Brought up
Turn
Bite at the Beach, you brought up Bite at the Beach. So let's hear about Bite at the Beach, Mark. Tell
us
everything.
Oh, man, it is going to be a blast. Now, we've kind of changed. Listen, you're going
to
have tons and tons of beer.
What?
And there's going to be tons and tons of food. Okay, but there is going to be, for those of you who don't bring like beer, there is going to be a couple of three wineries. Okay, so there will be wine available. Also, for those of you that will need to hydrate occasionally, because you plan on staying the full 4 hours, we will have coconut water and some non-alcoholic stuff there for you. It's going to be really fun. You know, what I did with the entertainment this year is I wanted a real New York. You'll appreciate this. Jackie, the New York busking sort of feel, you know,
mm-hmm,
where you're on a subway and there's that sax player. So as you enter, early on in the beginning of the event, as you enter, there'll be a sax player at the front just blowing away on his sax, just playing some tunes. And he will actually later on wander up and down New York Street, okay, with his sax, sit on a stoop and play and all that. At another end of the street, I'm going to have a guy with a guitar. He'll have his case out like you're going to tip him or something. And he'll be playing a harmonica and his guitar and all that. And then center stage, you all know Jack Tracy and B.J. Arnold. Jack also is bringing his bass player. They're actually going to be mic'd. They'll be on speakers, and they're going to be busking up there too. But it'll all be mostly – it's not going to be piped in music. Now, Vox DJs will be there, but KC is going to do like – music during when they take a break in their sets and stuff like that. He'll have music. He'll make announcements, thanking our sponsors, thanking the people who are there and all that stuff. But it's primarily going to be all this acoustical music just kind of wafting through this beer garden and this beer area and eating area and all that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have And some little surprises. Well, you guys know Box, right? Those guys are actually going to be there. We're going to put them behind a wall, so no risk of nose hair flying into your food.
Wait! Are they going to be like doing
outside
body grooming?
Outside the eating area? They're going to be over at the beginning near entrance.
Okay.
Yeah. They listen, when they do a tour to the pier and they do all those things, they have a line, you know. They have a line of people there waiting to get their ears and nose or whatever, you know.
I bet.
You don't go any further than that, then it becomes a public display. But ear and nose, you know. And we've got, the reason Sam, he was going to be on because they're going to have cigars, their little gourmet, whatever you call it, boutique cigar stuff there that you can purchase and then pick up and take on your way out, you know.
Yes.
We've got the E3,
vehicle. Sam Williams was supposed to be our guest this morning. He didn't answer his phone, though, when we called him. But Sam Williams is the proprietor of Nika Slam's Cigars, which is located over at the Red Carpet Car Wash on Sepulveda. And we've had him on before. He's a great guest. And we were supposed to have him on today because, as you just mentioned, Nika Slam's is going to be – they're going to have a booth over there at by the beach next weekend.
Yeah. Well, what you don't know, and there's so many things you find out about people. Like, for instance, Latrice McLaughlin, who is an executive over at Connecta, who we deal with. She runs the community affairs for the Connecta Federal Credit Union and for all the Connectas. And she's a professional singer. She used to be a professional singer. She's on Spotify. She's got music out there, right? How wild is that? Yeah. Sam played for the Sixers.
So
and the Golden State Warriors.
There's pictures of him online taking a shot with Larry Bird trying to defend him. You know, I mean, that's unbelievable, you know. So I was really looking for him to be on here because I haven't talked to him since I just knew him as Sam with Nico Slams, you know, and I knew he had to have played sports at some time. The guy's like 8 feet tall, but – I found this out. I wanted to ask him, so was Larry Bird really the trash talker that, you know, I really wanted to talk to him about that. So I'll wait until talk to him later. But, you know, you find out all these interesting things about people who you do business with but did have other lives, you know. It's really – I think that's fascinating, too. One of these days I want to – you know, it would be great to catalog that kind of thing with our businesses, too, you know, to talk about. And I told him, like Latrice, I said, send us a picture of your singing days. I'd love to put it on our Facebook and say, hey, Latrice from Connecta, look at that, you know. And she still sings, but, you know, it's not a profession with her. So, and then Sam, his background, I mean, how cool is that? And there's many others like that, you know, here in the South Bay, in our naked city.
So what you're saying, Mark, is that when we all descend to bite at the beach, we all have to be in a New York state of mind, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, we should get him to play that. We should get Jack to play that.
He should absolutely play it.
But it is kind of an East meets West. We're going to have a photo wall with the Manhattan Beach Pier. I was going to have the Brooklyn Bridge, but instead I'm just going to do this. We have this big Manhattan Beach Pier that Beau Bridges took a picture of, and we're going to hang that up, and you get a picture in front of it. Oh, I got to call Dennis Jarvis because I want him to have a couple surfboards. Oh, and I would be remiss if I didn't say SoCal Gas, SoCal Gas, SoCal Gas. There's three impressions. Now you remember it. The is our title sponsor for Bite at the Beach this year. Love those people.
Fantastic.
SoCal Gas. So where Jack and BJ and Jack's bass player are going to be playing is the SoCal Gas stage.
Yeah. So is SoCal Gas going to step up and be a regular sponsor with the chamber now?
I think so. We're going to do some other things with them too. Yeah. And I'm trying to get to SoCal Edison. We're meeting next week. Have you guys done much with the Marriott, with West Drift, becoming West Drift?
I made the announcement. As a matter of fact, I poached your photograph that you took in the lobby. I had poached that photograph, and I had posted it in my blog that it was now going to be a part of the boutique hotel arm.
Yeah,
we're meeting with those guys
on Monday. I mean, wow, is that place going to be? And by the way, we're still doing, even though they're under construction, we're still doing our street food cinema, but it's also going to be, by the way, and Jackie, I need your help, it's going to be an art walk. Do you have art groups that you know in Redondo?
Oh, I know them all.
Would you send me some names or contacts for that?
Yes, absolutely.
You won't forget? Joe, yep. Remind her, would you?
I just wrote it down.
Okay, because we want to do the street food cinema and art walk out on the golf greens behind the Marriott, soon to be West Drift.
Sure. All right, I will send you that stuff.
That's cool, huh?
I can do it today.
Don't you think that'd be cool?
I think that would be. I think all art is very cool. Everybody's
doing
art walk now.
I do too.
I think they're fabulous. What a great way. You know, North Manhattan Beach had their art walk earlier this summer.
I've been trying to get those guys to become an art district, and it's like, geez, guys, look what you did with the art walk. Why don't you become an art district? Separate yourself from downtown and any other place in Manhattan Beach, Sales Quarter. Mm-hmm. Be the art district. You know, people walk in who are tourists, who are visitors here, and they go, so do you have an art district? You know, and if you let people, if you start to kind of organically do that, you'll see galleries go up there.
Well,
Hermosa
is doing it. Hermosa has been doing it for the last couple of years. They've
Martin
got that
old,
kind of that old industrial area on Cypress,
right.
And Hermosa Design Studios moved in there, and they're hosting a bunch of stuff. They have events all the time. Shockbox.
Yeah. Yep. Well, look at what El Segundo's doing in that whole Sleepy Hollow area. So it's just that you need to organically start promoting it and put some murals on the walls outside or something, it'll happen. But it has been proven all over this country, but certainly all over California, when some of these areas, disadvantaged areas, you put in an art district sort of concept, all of a sudden it lifts it up. It becomes a vibrant area.
Right.
Unless you're Boyle
Heights,
and then you just don't want anything there. You just, you know.
You put the artist in there,
you
and
shoot,
they really
they
renovate.
Shoot artists.
But look,
historically speaking, you know, where I grew up in New York, you know, it was the rundown neighborhoods that nobody wanted to be in, so rent
were
really
cheap. Right,
because
that's what artists could afford.
Starving artists would move in.
Hey,
and once
I remember when we all lived in Hell's Kitchen. Remember when Hell's Kitchen was literally Hell's Kitchen, but that's where all the artists lived. The Upper West Side was a low-rent area. Now, of course, it's through the roof, but the Upper West Side was where the artists lived because you couldn't afford
the
East Side. You know,
the Lower East Side, you know, Chelsea Piers area. Yeah, all of those areas were lifted up once. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen dozens and dozens of times. The artists move in. They need their coffee shop. A little coffee shop opens. Then suddenly you need a little market to support them. It happened in downtown L.A. You know,
LA. Go to the art district? It's proven. But to get these North End guys
we have to go back. We have to step back a little bit because we just breezed over. You know, people like to learn things on the South Bay show. So we just breezed over the West Drift. $78 million sale.
Mm-hmm.
The city is going to get about $780,000 from the transaction because the city actually owns those 26 acres.
Right.
The city's not selling the property. The city's just getting a transaction fee of $780,000 from the sale.
Yep.
And it's going to become, what do they call it, an autograph collection? It's still going to be owned by the Marriott, but it's just going to be their higher-end lifestyle
boutique hotel. They want it to
boutique
be, and this is another thing, Jackie, you'll like, they want it to be a kind of an East Hampton. They want it to be a East Hampton sort of feel, beachy sort of feel. So,
it's exciting. There are so many exciting things happening in the South Bay. Exciting things.
And, you know, they're going to still have, by the way, just so lest anybody think differently, I mean, when you say boutique hotel, it's not that they're scaling back. They're still going to have all their convention services. It's just going to be a refreshed, a new look, really nice look.
Rebranding.
I doubt that the Rotary, my Rotary Club will be able to go there anymore because it's probably going to be too expensive. But I tell you, we're at Verandas right now, another area on North Manhattan, and it's great. We look out at the windows at our Rotary meetings. You can see the ocean, and it's just beautiful. It's up on the second floor at Verandas. By the way, so you know, part of the development, that whole property is in escrow right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't know what the developer's going to do, whether it'll happen in my lifetime, but that whole property right now is in escrow. So that's a ticking clock for all the businesses that are there in that corner of Rosecrans and Highland.
Well, let's just get in another impression. Bite at the Beach, Saturday, August 12th from 2 to 6 p.m. on the MBS Media Campus. Food and beer event. It's going to be fantastic. You can go to Eventbrite and find tickets for the event. It's going to be amazing. 21
and
years
we have,
and over.
We have
20 year,
we have,
years
we have,
age and over.
We have several promo codes. You got HFN. Please. You got South Bay Show. So you get a discount on those tickets. So
there shouldn't be any reason why anybody is paying full price. We have promo codes for every. You know what? The reason I'm doing it. This is my Machiavellian research that I'm doing. I've got all these promo codes out there with different groups around town, and you know you're seeing what sells and what, you know, Mix a Go Go. You guys know those guys. I've got them up there. I've even got a guy who says he has this huge database, so I put up there, okay.
Who's got the juice?
You know, so
who's
we'll
got
see.
The juice? Market's, you know? Testing. Market's
LMB. LMB has been selling some tickets. Oh, I gave the city a promo code. I've got a bunch of tickets that the city employees have bought. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
We're up to
–
well, this
it,
is, by the way, we have broken records this year with number of sales of tickets. Normally, we have a lot of giveaways and stuff like that, but we're almost at 400 tickets sold.
Wow, that's fantastic. Your
goal, the most we ever sold in the past was I think 246 or 250, something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're
gonna
busting
be
it out, man. So it's going to be
Everybody's gonna be
500 of your best friends, guys.
Right.
Everybody's
going
to be there.
And
it's,
you know,
amazing.
The E3 vehicles is going to take you from your Lyft or taxi over to the entrance. So.
Wow.
Oh, I can't wait. I haven't ridden in one of those yet. I've seen them.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Well, what
I
wanted Amy to do, you'll appreciate this. I wanted Amy, I said, Amy, try to somehow find one of those cars that looks like a Checker cab, you know, so we can.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. That
Wouldn't that have been? So she is going to bring this yellow car and sort of have one of her drivers in a cap, you know, do that. But wouldn't it be cool to have a little Checker cab taking everybody?
That would be very cool.
That would be
very cool. I love it.
Unfortunately, I don't even think they have Checker cabs anymore.
In New York, well, they have their Checker cabs, but not the old ones. Like, you know,
I'm talking about
the old ones
that you could put a grand piano in.
With the jump seats.
Oh my gosh,
I remember they were. I moved. Yeah.
I used a Checker to move when I bought a one-way plane ticket to New York back in the early 80s. It was a Checker cab that moved all my boxes to Greenwich Village.
My dad used to drive a Checker cab.
Really?
Wouldn't you love to have one of those?
It was
a second job. His kids were growing up. We were growing fast. He needed more money to buy clothes and keep food in our stomachs. And he took a second job driving a cab at night.
Well, now
and
the
I remember,
second job is Lyft and Uber. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
All right.
Well, always a pleasure, guys. I love talking
always.
To you guys. You always bring out the best in me in terms of Gabby. So, love it.
And we learn. I think these are really good shows for people because they learn a lot about what's going on in the city and they learn a lot about what the chamber is doing. I think members need to hear from the chairman more often.
I need to get you on. Are you on our newsletter? Do you get my newsletter?
I do.
You mean?
I get the chamber newsletter. Yeah.
The chamber newsletter. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta put. Okay, so you do get it.
I get that, and I pull the dates for your monthly luncheon.
Yeah,
your
good.
Social
That's
hour.
What it's supposed to be for.
Yeah,
I pull
that info off of there and put it onto my website. Yeah.
Good. Thank you. All right.
Okay. Well, everybody, Mark Lipps, President and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, right. Anytime. We should make this a regular habit. Forget guests. Let's just chat.
We're going to take you up on that. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
And thank
Ladies
you,
and gentlemen,
Joe.
That's our show. And, of course, I'm promoting, ladies and gentlemen, I'm promoting the movie is Karate Kid on the beach in Hermosa tomorrow. Movie starts around 7:30. You should get there around 6 to get a spot. And then, of course, on Sunday, music on the beach is going to be quite a show just south of the pier. Hermosa is happening this weekend, and of course, International Surf Festival. So,
I'm volunteering for that Saturday night. I'll be working the races. Saturday night, I'll be working just north of the Hermosa Pier.
All right.
Yep.
Lots of great stuff happening in the South Bay. Check it all out at southbaybyjackie.com. We'll see you soon. Bye bye, everybody.
See you guys.